Okay, Rabosai. When we last left our heroes, we were up to Siv Zayin. Says Siv Zayin, Basar Otash Chata Cho Bisakin Choleket. You accidentally cut roiling hot meat with a milchik knife. Okay, that's the kind of thing that could happen. A few kids in my family would do that every day. So it all starts with, there's no Gemara directly about this, but in Chulin, Daf Chesam and Beis, there's something similar to this. There's a case of a guy who shechted with a treif knife. Itmar Shochi B'sakon Shel Ovid Ochavim, and it's a machlokas here, whether it's klipa, whether you need to take a klipa off the meat or not. And the Gemara says, if you hold Beis HaShchita or Tachas, that the neck of an animal is hot, then it makes sense, you need to remove a klipa. From here, Rabbeinu Baruch concludes, that's the Yesh Omer quoted in Rabbeinu Peretz. For some reason, they turn Beis Yosef, don't say who the Yesh Omer is. But if you look inside the original Rabbeinu Peretz, he says who the Yesh Omer is. So, says Rabbeinu Baruch is the author of the Sefer Truma, Talmud of the Re Balatosos. He says, you need klipa. It also answers a klipa, just like we see in Daf Chesman Beis and Chulin. That we shech the knife or shech cut meat with a milk knife, all the same thing. And answers to a klipa. Put it in Amber here on the bottom. Says, Kedenatima. Why did the Rashba say Kedena Tila? Because we mentioned once that when it comes to Tzli, if hot food touches hot food that's dry, it offers Kedena Tila. So, says Rabbeinu Baruch, here is a knife touching food, that would be Kedena Tila. However, we don't pass like either of them, or Rabbeinu Peretz says, it's all Osir. Obviously, unless it has less than 60. Meaning, how far did the bliya go when you cut hot meat with a knife? The Rabbeinu Baruch says kedei klipa, the Rashba says kedei netila, and the Rabbeinu Peretz says through the whole thing. The Gemara in Chulin Daf Chesed Beis says that if we assume the neck of the animal is hot, it only goes through kedei klipa. So he says, being the die for that Gemara, it didn't say the whole animal was hot. It said only the neck was hot. The neck hot, I guess because of the friction or something. Normally the whole body of an animal is body temperature, which whatever it is for an animal is pretty close to what it is for us. But I guess the friction would make the neck, it says, Beis HaShchita is hot. Yeah, if only one little part is hot, then it'll only go through the klipa. But if the whole piece of meat is hot, then the bliya will go through the whole thing. So that's what the parrot says. Don't say the klipa. That was only when it was hot on the surface. But if the whole thing, if it's hot on the surface is balea. If the whole thing is hot, the whole thing is balea. What about the Rashba's kedei netila? Doesn't sli normally aser only kedei netila? So he doesn't explicitly address that. Who do we possibly have to read the Shulchan Aruch? Right? Basar otash shechatcha b'sakin cholevis. This could happen. Kol hachaticha asura im ein bashishim kedei gemakim asakin. The whole chaticha is aser if it's not 60 times the size of the knife plate. Shechat ha-basar, that cut it. Okay. First part. So, we pass it like the Rabbeinu Peretz. Yes. Yeah. No. Hot food touching hot food. Without rotev is kedei netila. I mean, it's mefurish in some kafe, and we mentioned it once or twice. I mean, that's machlokes we showed him, but that's how we paskin. The disagrees. Okay, but that's how we paskin. So the question is, why doesn't Rabbeinu Baruch have a good raya? Right? What's the makor is shchita. So we know her being a parent gets out of that mucker. What's the mucker of the Rashba? The mucker is sleep. Isn't he right? How does obedient parents get out of the Rashba's logic of Tzli? So that is, without bringing the Rashba, that's the question of the Shach. The Shach of Katan Chav Zayin Yoni says, even though in Simen Kuf Hei, like Bednar said, we say that if something's not in Rotev, it asers Kedei Netila. So why here does it go further than Kedei Netila? Okay. So what are the three answers of the Shach? So, blood is not as absorbent is something that he quotes from the Marshal to answer the Ravina Baruch question. And then he says, the Marshal got it all wrong because that part wasn't about blood in the Gemara. Okay, the Marshal wasn't stupid. He also didn't learn Gemara, but we're going to ignore that for now. So, Rav Shach has three answers. What are his three answers? Right? Why is this more chomer than Tzli? So the Shach has three answers, two out of which deny the premise of the question. What is number one? Says the Shach. Number one, Dochke de Sakina. Dochke de Sakina makes it worse than regular Tzli. This is heat plus Dochke de Sakina. Heat makes it travel Kedei Netila. Heat without liquid makes the Lia go through Kedei Netila. But if you add Dochke de Sakina, the pressure of the knife, then it makes it go through the whole thing. Okay, the Shach earlier in Chav Hei said that's also why no one asked whether the knife was on top or the meat was on top. It's not such a good kashya you could say because you're going to stop. The knife is on top, the meat's on the bottom, whoever heard the other direction. But the Shach happens to point out, it doesn't matter which is on top or which is on bottom, with Dukkha Sakina, that overrides that hugover. Yes. What? Not sure why you thought that. Yeah. Not sure. I mean, I'm sure it's not true. It's not sure why you thought it. Correct. Correct. I mean, that's one of his opinions, right? Okay. But the Shach has two other answers. His second and third answer are that it's not more chomer than Tzli. If it's not more chomer than Tzli, why does a Blia go further than Kedei Netila? So he says there's an exception in Tzli. Isaac, do you remember in Tzli what kind of material penetrates further than Kedei Netila? Isser Shami. And he says there are two possibilities. Either the butter, I'm making a butter. The butter on the knife is Shami, or the meat is Shami. Okay, so according to the Shach's second two opinions, Dochke de Sakina doesn't actually make it worse than regular Tzli. It only would go through Kedei Netila, but we're talking about something Shame, and that's why it goes through the whole thing. According to the first day in the Shach, no, Dochke de Sakina makes it worse than regular Tzli. Whether it's fat or lean, the Tzli will go through the whole thing because of the pressure of the knife. Which day in the Shach do we paskin like? So, if you look, for example, in the Prima Gadam on the Shach, he says, Ladina vadei apas or kachosha din came, etc. Ladina, even if it's kachosh, we paskin like the first answer of the Shach. So we paskin that. Then he says, Us Ashkenazim, if you recall, we learned we don't know what's kachosh with Shamayin anyway. But the it doesn't matter. We paskin like the first day in the Shach. Dochke de Sakina plus Tzli makes the Tzli go through the whole thing. Benny.
Two questions. Well, firstly, I can't see the board for 2 and 3. What's the difference between 2 and 3?
I don't know why you can't see the board. The difference between 2 and 3 is that 2 is that the butter smeared on the knife is shumming, and 3 is that the meat is shumming. Meaning there's a knife and there's a meat. So the actually, maybe I'll say it a little better. It doesn't have to be smeared on the knife. Let me put it this way, even though that's going to be a the blia in the knife, he said, does something on, is shamein. That's in 2 and 3. It's the same answer. Something's fatty. Just 2 is that the blia in the knife is fatty, and 3 is that the meat is fatty. So there are two objects, so you can make either one of them fatty. But they're the same basic answer, no kinta fattiness.
Okay, and the second question is, I don't understand why the Dochke de Sakina would be more chomer than Tzli, because Tzli there's a I forgot what it's called, but a full transference of flavor. Whereas even if it's a pressurized thing here, it's so smaller.
There's Dukh and a Sakina plus Tzli, because the meat is hot. I don't mean Dukh and a Sakina alone. I mean Dukh and a Sakina plus heat is better than just heat. Mm. Right? This is all hot. Right? So it's not that Dukh and a Sakina in cold is not powerful at all. What we mean here is that Dukh and a Sakina plus heat is more powerful than heat. That makes sense. No, the truth is, the shach here, I misspoke. He said, even if there's nothing on the knife, he says the bliya in the knife is shocking. No, I think he's saying, even if the knife is clean, inside the knife there's a bliya of fat. It's not a substance or kimta, meaning the mechaber is talking about a case where the knife is bolea fatty things. Lu yitzu, you knew the knife was bolea lean things, then it wouldn't be awesome. He's making no kemta. What gives him the right to make the kemta? I want to answer a question. But it's not minastam, it's an kemta. Okay, that is the first part of the mechaber. Yeah, okay. Now, there's a machlokas between the shas of Kotan Chof Ches, between him and the Taz. Remember, we saw this in the first Piskei Tshuva, a slightly different case. The part of the knife that went into the meat. How do you know which part of the knife went into the meat? So the Marshal and the Taz say, how do you know which part of the knife went into the meat? You don't. What if you say, I remember I only used the bottom half of the knife to cut the meat? We don't trust you, because since you weren't responsible to know at the time, we don't trust you to pay attention. Right, which again, it's true, you ever try interrogating witnesses, anything like that? People always misremember things if they weren't paying attention and if they didn't know it was important at the time. If you tell someone it's important at the time, they'll remember it. They're just walking down the street. It's a very rare person who remembers all the details properly. So that's the machlokshe that Taz and the Marshal say, we don't trust your memory. You have to use the whole knife blade. The Shach says, Pashas the Machaber, is that we do trust your memory. So he says the part you used to cut it. Simple shot is, how do you know which part you used to cut it based on your memory? The shach says we do trust your memory. Okay, so that's machlokas, the shach, and this the mashmos and the machaber thinks we trust your memory. Marshal and the taz versus the shach and the, I'd say, the mashmos of the Shulchan Aruch. It's not mefurish. He doesn't say how you know how much of the knife you stuck in, but probably because you remember, right? That's the simple case. So it sounds to the mechaber like we trust your memory, and that is a machlokas, simple shot as we possibly likely shot here, if it would actually come. Now let's go to the second half of the mechaber. He adds, that's if the knife is ben yomo, well, ain't no ben yomo. If the knife's not ben yomo. Right, it wasn't used to cut hot milk in the last 24 hours. Oh, in Yodesh, ben yomo, or you don't know that it was ben yomo. Because there's a rule that stam kelim are not ben yomo. We assume a stam kli is not ben yomo. So, if it's not ben yomo, or it's a stam kli and it's not ben yomo, eino oser ele kdei klipa. It only asers kdei klipa of the meat. And this is a big machlokes. Why? Right? Sakin eino ben yomo. Oser. Kedei klipa. Why does a sakin sheino ben yomo aser kedei klipa? So first of all, a sakin sheino ben yomo shouldn't aser at all, right? It's tam lefgam. Why should it aser the meat at all? So, what does everyone explain? Why does it aser the meat at all if it's not ben yomo? Because what do we assume about knives? A stam knife is not clean. A stam knife has schmutz on it. This doesn't match our lifestyle. Okay, we live in a different time and place than the Rishonim did. Our stam knives, I think, are clean. If I can be so bold as to update the halacha. But their stam knives, they assume, were dirty. So let's say, really, the point is that this is, right? Let's cross this out. Sakin eino ben yomo. So if it is clean, then the basar is mutter. But if it is dirty, or everyday klipa. The question is, where did this big klipa come from? And here we have a machlokas between the Shach and the Taz, let's say. Why k'day klipa? Mehechi tesi k'day klipa. So, now I understand, the knife is not dangerous at all. Any taste that comes out of the knife is a tam lefgam. But the schmutz on the knife, that's the principle here, the schmutz on the knife, even after 24 hours, might still be good, right? We assume it still tastes good after 24 hours. So we have the rule of knowing when schmutz becomes spoiled. So, minastam, we have to assume it's good. Whenever we know the rule, we always have to assume the most machmir possibility. So, this schmutz goes into the meat. The schmutz should go into the whole meat, because doch zakina plus heat. So why should only aser k'dei klipa? So here's a machlokes in the Shach and the Bach versus the Taz and the Nekudas HaKesef. The Shach and the Nekudas HaKesef says, oh yeah, I really meant like the Taz. Although the Prichadash says, oh no, he didn't. He's just changing his mind. Because the Taz said, well, he says, Kevin Shehegev should show it close our mouth. It says, gosh. But what do we have here? We have wine. Okay. We have two hesberim. One is the Shach and the Bach. Right? The Bach is quoted in the Taz. What do they say? They say there's a new rule. There is a rule. Their Gemara says in Psachim a rule that if there's a tiny amount, it'll only aser k'dei klipa. Question is, what's the nature of that rule? So, say the Shach and the Bach, there is a new rule that a davar muat only penetrates k'dei klipa and shamnunis on the sakin is a davar muat. Okay, go figure what the exact quantitative hakdara of davar muat is. I don't know. It doesn't say that anywhere in anything. What do they say? They say the whole knife is not a davar muat. It's full of pleos. That's a lot. But the schmutz on the knife is a davar muat, and there's a rule that a davar muat only goes in k'dei klipa. The Taz and the Nekudas HaKesef says, yeah, if you look what I said in the Shach, I also meant to allow for that. Although, if you read the Shach, I'll point that in a second. It really doesn't sound that way. I think the Nekudas HaKesef just said, well, in the Shach, like, I didn't totally call that impossible. I left, like, a little bit of a hint that it might be possible in the Shach, so he's jumping on that. I guess he read the Taz, he was very convinced by the Taz. The Taz had a good time. So he says, okay, you're right. I mean, if you look back in the Shach, there's a remnant to that anyway. So we're on the same page, even though if you actually look at the Shach, it's clear it's not what it means at all. Chavish points out, but no, Moshe. Taz Nekudas HaKesef says, no, it's an old rule. Old rule. It's still the rule of Davar Muat. There's a Gemara of Davar Muat. The question is, Davar Muat a new rule or the old rule? It's the old rule of Davar Muat, which is Mitzvah B'Shishim, meaning, what does the Gemara mean by Davar Muat? It doesn't mean there's a special rule that Davar Muat only penetrates K'dei Klipa. What it means is that a Davar Muat is Batel B'Shishim. And you want to know what's the getter of Davar Muat? I'll tell you, Davar Muat means less than a 60th. Right? There's a new rule called the small things which only go so far. There's an old rule. A thing that's smaller than a 60th cannot answer the whole piece. So what do we see? So an old rule of Davar Muat, which is Bet Bashisha. So really, the Blia penetrates the whole Chaticha of meat. But is Batel? Really, it's not that it only goes K'dei Klipa. No, it's the same as the ratio of the Machaber. It goes through the whole piece, but it's Batel the whole piece. And what happens? What is Batel? And we still forbid Aser K'dei Klipa because the Blia is stronger in the outer layer. What are they saying? They're saying that really the Bliya goes, the whole thing is Batal B'Shishim. Right? I mean, it's the same as the Reisha. There's no special new rule. However, there's just a new detail. When a Bliya goes into, I'm not talking about when there's a broth. When there's broth, everything spreads out equally. When a Bliya goes into a solid piece and it's Batal B'Shishim, you still have to take off the outer layer because more of it got stuck in the outer layer. So even though it was less than a 60th of the piece, maybe a lot of it got stuck in the outer layer, and the outer layer you'll be able to taste the milk. So you have to peel off the outer layer. Because we're dealing with a solid, not a liquid, we can't be sure it spreads equally through the whole piece. So he's saying maybe it spread through the whole piece, then it was about to b'shishim, or maybe the milk taste got stuck in the outer layer, so we peel off the outer layer. And I read the Green Garden says maybe she can peel off the outer layer. Okay, well, that's most poskim seem to quote the Mechaber, who says, okay, klipa, what's the nafka mina between them? The nafka mina between them is if the chaticha of meat was not 60 times the shamlunis. What if the chaticha of meat was only 59 times the shamlunis on the knife? Meaning, you cut a small piece of meat. Then, the shachlebach would say, asur k'dei klipa. And the Taz, the Kudas and Kesef, would say it's all usher. Shachlas, a new rule. Different one only goes in K'day Klipa. Doesn't matter how big or small the piece is. The Taz and the Kudas and Kesef would say, no, this is the old rule. It's a B'Shishim, but if you happen to have a small piece and there's no bit of B'Shishim, the whole piece is usher. We paskin like the Taz, even the Shach changed his mind in the Kudas and Kesef, and tried to like put that into his original Kavana. And really, he says, even the Bach really meant that, you know, he was just speaking theoretically. Everyone, Shach says, I really meant this. The Bach really meant this. Everyone really meant like the Taz. Okay. So the Taz says the Shach's wrong, and the Bach's wrong. And the Shach says, no, me and the Bach always agreed with you. So we know how to paskin, obviously, like the Taz. Right? That's pashut. The Agav, the Shach here, what's so dochuk about the Shach is a very similar case in Simon's Hadivav of cutting an onion. Well, sorry, there's a radish there, right? Sharp radish with a knife that has schmutz on it. And it only goes through Kedei Netila. So the Shach says, why over there does it go through Kedei Netila? And here it goes through Kedei Klipa. It doesn't make any sense. He has to give very dochuk camp. Over there, it's like a double dover mu'at because the radish makes some of the tam in the knife good again. And therefore, it's like a little more than dover mu'at. Very, very difficult, very dochuk, hard to accept. For the Taz, very pashut. Why? Because the radish was cold, so it only went through Kedei Netila. But over here, the meat was hot. Heat makes it spread more, so it goes through the whole thing. Just when it goes through the whole thing, it's both the B'Shishim, and then you're left with Asurim only Kedei Klipa. But if you compare this to the same schmutzy knife cutting an onion, according to the Shach, in the onion it goes further, Kedei Netila. According to the Taz, here it goes further, it goes through the whole thing, just as Batal B'Shishim, so we end up asking only Kedei Klipa. And that's why the Taz really works better, makes a lot more sense, not to mention the fact he brings a gazillion rayas from Rishonim. Okay, that's the second part of the Sif. Let's go on to the third. The Chol Zeh, famous Ramah, maybe infamous Ramah, according to some people. The Chol Zeh, Basar Roteach B'Kli Mishon. All this is only true if the meat is hot. What's the halachic definition of hot, according to the most mainstream halachic view, Isaac? Hot means in a kli rishon. Only if the meat is in a kli rishon. And then, if the sakin has been yomo, v'hin shishim basur negad ha-sakin kol asur. That's the ratio of the machaber, right? If the sakin has been yomo, and the meat is not 60 times the knife, meaning 6 times whatever part of the knife cut it, then it's all treif. Yafa sakas are gone. Sakas is also treif, right? Just like the meat was belayed from the knife was belayed from the meat. And meat's agola. Avalom klisheni, but a klisheni is a different story. Then, habasar sar klipa, if it's a klisheni, the meat is only asar kedei klipa, regardless of whether or not it has shishim. But a sakin needs makak, and the sakin doesn't need hagola, just needs to be stuck 10 times into the hard ground. The chino, again, that's our minag. Bafilo in a sakin ben yomo, even the sakin's not ben yomo, meaning whether or not the sakin's ben yomo, if it's a klisheni, yesh liklof habasar ma'at mishum shamlunas ha-sakin. You should still take a little klipa off the meat, because of shamlunas on the sakin, meaning either way. Okay, now, let's take this step by step. First is where the Maharshal has a big, big, big problem with this Rama. What's the Maharshal's big problem? Well, everyone knows the famous Shi'ut the Maharshal, right? You probably know this from high school. Not because you learned Basra Cholam in high school, but because you learned Hilchos Shabbos in high school. Right? What's the famous Shi'ut the Maharshal in two words? Davar Gush.
I learned literature in high school, not Hilchos Shabbos.
What?
I said I learned literature in high school, but I didn't learn Hilchos Shabbos.
Okay, we should all be Zophis and Arklids to high schools where you learn literature properly and Hilchos Shabbos properly. The Mirat Zosha. But now, fine. So now you're catching up with Hilchos Shabbos also. The Maharshal says Davar Gush always counts like a Kli Mishnah. This is the famous Machlokes Ramah Maharshal. You want to know where the Ramah is? Here's the Ramah. You want to know where the Maharshal is? He's quoted by the Shach and Taz here, and they say where you can find the Maharshal. Right, where's the Maharshal? Says the Shach. He starts with something interesting. He says, in the Shulchan Aruch, it's written here, what does the parenthesis say for the Ramah? Aruch Chal, it's Aruch Chal Lamed Vav. He says, if you look in the Israel, we mentioned once, the parentheses and the Ramah were not written by the Ramah. But they're right 99% of the time. This is the 1%, says the Shach. You look in the Ismet or Aruch, it doesn't say that at all. As a matter of fact, it says the opposite. He agrees with the Maharshal, or Maharshal agrees with him, really. Where can you find this in the Maharshal? You can find it in the Maharshal, he says, in the Isser Veheter Shalom. In the Isser Veheter Shalom, which is the Hagosh Aridura of the Maharshal, you can find this, you can find the Shita, and you can also find this Shita Maharshal. He doesn't say, but the Taz says you can also find this Shita Maharshal in Perek Gimel Hay Simon Mem Dalet. What's Perek Gimel Hay? Gina Nasha, the seventh Perek of Chulin, and Simon Mem Dalet. And what book would that be, the Maharshal on Chulin? The Yamshal Shalom. Okay, so you can find this in many Sfarim of Maharshal. And this is a famous Machlokes. What about a Davar Gush? Big Flea, Shamey, says the Isser Veheter and the Maharshal. It's Dino Kikli Rishon. It's considered like a Kli Rishon. What's the only condition they require, as long as it is? Yatsa Letisbo. Balsman, Sheha Yatsa Letisbo, says the Ramah. Dino Kikli Shamey. And what's the Kli Shamey? Very little is going to be problematic there. Right, normally there'll be no blia, or you know, maybe a little klipa here, a little nitsa there. We'll get the details down in a moment. This is a famous machlokas. This machlokas seems to be based on the Tosfos. The Gemara says there's a difference between klirishon and klisheni. Why there's a difference between klirishon and klisheni, the Gemara never says. Gemara says in Masechta Shabbos that klirishon is mevashal, klisheni is not mevashal. The Gemara does not explain why. But Tosfos says, what does Tosfos famously say? Kli Rishon has the fanos bechamimos, the walls of the pot heat the food. Kli Sheni has the fanos bekaros, the walls of the pot cool the food. There's what they call an excluded middle there. Kli Rishon is mevashal because there's the fanos bechamimos. Kli Sheni is not mevashal because there's the fanos bekaros. What if there's neither? Tosos leaves you confused. Tosos is not precise in specifying that. So, this may be what underlies this machlokes. What is the svara of the Maharshal? The svara is, and this, unfortunately, is for head to the Maharshal, meaning that you don't need the chron to say the svara, is that there's no tefanos makaros, because a davar gush does not cling to the tefanos of the kli. You are putting in a cold kli, that's what makes it a kli shani. But when you put a slab of meat on a cold kli, it's not fully touching that cold kli, only on the bottom, so it stands on its own. It's not like a liquid. A liquid takes the shape of the kli and is very much affected by the kli. This is not so affected by the kli, because it's sitting on the kli, but otherwise, it's not on the kli. So there's no defanos makaros. What would this further on? Mabi? Each piece of rice does not. As a matter of fact, many pieces of rice are not touching the kli at all. I would say the vast majority of the rice is not touching the kli at all. even the ones that are only touching the Kli on one side. Yes. A solid item. Gush means a block, or a solid item. Like in modern Hebrew, right? A settlement block is a gush, gush katif, gush etzion, etc. But you don't need a settlement block. If you go to the cheese counter in Rami Levi or Osher Ad, they think they all have cheese counters, and you ask for cheese, what do you say if you want slices of cheese? You say, I want perus. What do you say if you don't want slices of cheese? You just want a big block of cheese? You say, I want a gush, right? Maybe though, halachically for ourselves, slices are also illustrated. What's this for the Ramah? The Ramah never explicates this svara. It could be that it's a hakira, which part of Tosfos is Davka, which is not Davka. Maybe the Ramah would say there's no Defanos Makaros, but there's no Defanos Mekuchat. There's certainly no Defanos Mechanimos. Maybe the Ramah holds that everything's cold until it has Defanos Mechanimos. Marshal says everything's hot until it has Defanos Makaros. So it could be arguing which half of Tosfos is Davka and which half of Tosfos is Lav Davka. You could always say that the Ramah is not arguing in Lavinus. He's arguing in the details. You could also say, he says, or that, you know, one face, right, face of a salad, you know, like one side, counts as the Defanos Makaros, right? Meaning you could say, no. I agree with you that everything's hot until that's Defanos Makaros, but here there's Defanos Makaros. If you take a steak and put it on a plate, on one side it has a dofin that's Makaro. And maybe one side of a dofin that's Makaro is enough. So we're not sure what this further implies. You're saying because the walls can never touch the inside. That's basically the same thing, different words. The inside is always protected by the outside, right? But in the soup, there's no inside to an outside. But over here, why do solids stay hot better? Because nothing can get to the cold, can't get to the inside so quickly. That could be Bukhla, what I meant. I don't think this is the thing to change your ragged. That there's no Defanos Makaros, maybe no Defanos Makaros because it doesn't touch it on all sides. Maybe if they touch on all sides, it's not Defanos Makaros because they can't get to the inside. Okay, I accept that. Halach l'maisa, how do we paskin? Says the Shach here, Yisbar zebesim in kofei sevkot mches besiata deshmayim. Okay, if you would look there, you'd see that the Shach is machmer like the Marshal. He doesn't say for sure I know like the Marshal, but he's not really like the Marshal. How about the Taz? What compromise does the Taz make here? Anyone, what's the Taz's compromise here? Says the Taz at the very end of this long discussion of Katan Yudalid. Fia Nirlam Yazdaita Yishla Hakar Makam Shish Dukkar Zakina, Vobain Dukkar Zakina, Kaud Tacha Kafshin is Gurushal, Vase Yishla Hakel, Kadasa Ramah. He says it depends. If there's Dukhar Sakina, the Marshal is right. If not, the Ramah is right. Which means most Shavas are not Dukhar Sakina. He'd be making like the Ramah. So, Taz, if there's no Dukhar Sakina, Paskin is like the Ramah. But the Taz, if there's Dukhar Sakina, is Machna like the Marshal. Halacha l'maisa, Bein Behilcha Shabbos. We are machmer like the Marshal. I don't mean to say we paskin b'vada like the Marshal. We don't paskin b'vada like the Marshal. However, we are machmer like the Marshal. Here it gets a little tricky. When we say we're machmer like the Marshal, does that mean we're masukah, we're machmer like the Marshal? Or does that mean it's only a chumra b'alma to be machmer like the Marshal? Okay, there's some folks, I think our Shechter is fond of saying it's only a chumra b'alma we're machmer like the Marshal. The Maisa, one could be Mechalav between Hilcha Shabbos and Hilchas Bas Mechalav, meaning Hilcha Shabbos, then maybe the Marshal is more of a Chumr B'Yalma, because come on, that's not mamish the way you cook a Melechas Machshevis. While over here, if you ask me whether Bliya goes in or not, even though it's not the normal way of putting Lex on the Shemis, maybe Bliya should at least go in. We'll see later if there's one Shita. Some people possibly give him a cliche, the Bliya goes through. So Lamaisa, we are Machra like the Marshal here. We take the Marshal very seriously, not Bavadai. But we take the Marshal very seriously, and we're not willing to be Makel against the Marshal for sure. So Halach Lamaisa, a Dover Gush, we treat like a Kli Rishon. There's an interesting Pesach Tshuva here who gives us a nice kula, though. Pesach Tshuva calls me Solas Lamincha. Who says, makes an interesting chiluk. He says, this is true of a salad. What if you have a salad in the soup? You know? What if you have a little piece of meat in the cholent? Says, then Marshal wouldn't apply. Then we'd call it a klisheni. Why? Because it's soaking in the liquid. The liquid has the fanus hamakairos. The liquid gets even to the inside. And therefore, it becomes cold even the inside, which is definitely true. The liquid does permeate even the inside. So therefore, we can be makel when you have a solid inside a soup or something. It actually gets tricky. I don't know the physics very well, but certainly LP experience, everything's different. You know, sometimes the potato in the cholent will stay very, very hot. It's very dense. It also has the density. While the other things will not. I'd be a little more nervous about the potato, perhaps. But let me say in general, most things we have in our soups and cholents, it's the watery cholents, let's say soup. Most things in our soup, we can say even the salad in the soup cools off faster in a klisheni than a plain salad because it's permeated by the soup, and the soup has the phanos hamakaros. That's the kula here. But then in the brackets, he quotes the Shuvas Kasam Sofer, says there's no nafkamina to us because our minhag is that we ask for every klisheni, klishlishi, we just ask for everything, and we don't even chalik anything. And the Pesach Tshuva himself observes about this Kasam Sofer, that when he says we're machmer even everything, even klishlishi, etc., he says that's not our, maybe that was Rav Sofer's minhag, that's not our minhag. We'll see, that's not our minhag. Our minhag generally certainly can make a klishlishi, and in many cases even a klisheni, and therefore we would want to know whether the Marshal's right or the Ramah's right, because we are making a klishlishi and klisheni, or Moshe's making a repulsion klisheni. So we'd want to know if the Ramah and Marshal is right, then we pass like the Marshal. Okay, let's just finish up one last detail. We pass like the Marshal. So meat in a klisheni still counts as a kli rishon. Okay, but let's say you had, so in which case we don't need to know what it just said in this Ramah. But we still do, because there'd be a case where this would apply. What about meat that is, one second, let me just see if I wrote down the marker for this. Okay, I didn't write down the marker, so I apologize. I'll leave it, I'll try to fill in the marker. But the Achronim say here that this Ramah, even though we would not apply it to Klisheni, because we wouldn't apply it to Klisheni, because we say that Davar Gosh Klisheni is like a Kli Rishon. But we would apply it to something warm that's less than the outside lettuce bowl. What if something is warm? It was 100 degrees. Not Celsius Fahrenheit. Right? That's less than the outside lettuce bowl. Right? So the Gemara here has a day in the Afchesa and Beis of Kulin that says that the Beis HaShchita is Soni. It's not cold because the Beis HaShchita, the neck of an animal, is hot or cold. The neck of an animal is cold. Obviously, not cold, warm. Nonetheless, through Dukkar Sakina, it's Bolea Kedei Klipa. So, okay. I forgot my quote in front of me, but it's a Gemara. Gemara Chesim Beis says, even Manda Omar Beis HaShchita Zonain admits that it would be Bolea Kedei Klipa because of Dukkar Sakina. Okay, now you have to figure out, to be passing like that day, is our case a little different than that. But we do have this idea that even something warm, the Ramah says, even a klisheni, there'll be a bliya kdei klipa. Right? So we say that's not true, because the klisheni counts as a kli rishon. Right? So what do we have here? Here we have, what about warm meat? So what's the example? Example number one is cliché. But we say, nope, not a good example. Because we paskin like Marshall, so cliché is not warm, cliché is hot. There's another example. How about pachos miyad soletis bo? What if you have hot meat that's less than yad soletis bo? That's not a crazy scenario. That can happen all the time. You have hot meat in a cliché. If you had boiling hot meat in a cliché, you cut with a milk and knife, you'd be in trouble. You'd be held like the Marshall. But let's say you have meat that's comfortable, you know, hot, but not really hot meat, warm meat, and you cut it with a milk and knife. Then that would be the equivalent of the Ramos cliché. And what would we say? The meat needs klipa, and the sakin needs nigitza. The meat needs klipa, and the sakin needs nigitza. However, there's an important Rabbi Akiva Eiger here. What does the Rama say at the end? He says, "Mishum shamnunis hasakin," because of the schmutz on the knife. Even if the sakin's not benyomo, it's still a problem because the knife has schmutz. What if the sakin is benyomo? It's not clear. Is it also only a problem if the knife has schmutz, or is it a problem the etzem? Meaning, if I cut warm meat, or according to Rama, klisheni meat with a knife, and the knife has no schmutz, will the bliya go from the knife to the sakin, to the meat, or not? Not clear in the Rama. It says Rabbi Akiva Eiger, here tzar klipa mishum ha-be'en shal ha-sakin, it will be a dua shasakin, not noki af benyomo tzar klipa, Torah's Chattas, quoting from the Ramah, the source of the Ramah. Torah's Chattas there also. It's, I call that, it's before, so this is true, if it's less than, even if it's less than Yatsu Lenisbo. Lachs me Yatsu Lenisbo, that's warm meat. What does the Ramah say? The Ramah says that meat needs klipa, and the knife needs a. However, says Rabbi Akiva Eiger, you might think to apply this at home. Someone says to you, I took a milchik knife out of the drawer that was ben yomo and cut a reasonably hot, but not yatzo lettuce, piece of steak or chicken or whatever. You might say, oh, no, it's also good klipa, but you'd be wrong. Says Rabbi Akiva Eiger, this level of duch sakina plus mild heat is the case. Duch sakina plus mild heat. What does that add up to? Duch sakina plus proper heat makes the Isser go through the whole thing. What about Dochen Sakina plus mild heat? And Asus Kedei Klipa. However, says Rabbi Akiva Eiger, no. It does this also. It comes out of the Gemara in Daf Ches and Beis, if you read carefully, if you read carefully, rather. He says, it doesn't make Tom come out of the middle of the knife and go into Kedei Klipa. It's not hot enough to get Tom out of the middle of a knife. It just means that there's schmutz that makes the schmutz go into Kedei Klipa. Normally, what did we learn? Schmutz touches something, you just have to wash it off. Hadach. But with Dukh Zakina and mild heat, the schmutz will go into the klipa. But the bli on the knife won't go into the klipa, because it's not hot enough to get blias out of a klip. It's only hot enough to get schmutz into a klipa worth of food. So therefore, as we keep the Eger, only if the knife was dirty. Baruch Hashem, our stam knives are not dirty. Our stam knives are not dirty. So therefore, in our days, if you cut a warm piece of meat with a treif knife or a milchik knife or whatever equivalent case, as long as it was a normal knife that's clean nowadays, it wouldn't be usher at all, not even to the klipa, because duchkin is a kina plus mild heat has the power to get schmutz into a klipa, but doesn't have the power to get taste out of a knife and then into a klipa, because the knife is hard. Okay, that's where we keep Eger, very important halacha l'maisa. And then the sakin needs me'itza. Why did the sakin need me'itza? Because since it was warm, dukha, zakina plus the warmth, gets the blia stuck onto the knife, and you need vigorous, very hard scrubbing called the itza to clean the knife. Here the shach gets into a whole question of how do you clean knives? Not how do you tashra knives. How do you clean knives? How do you clean schmutz off knives? Is it enough to... is it enough... that's the second half of the Shach Sukkot Laman Aleph. Is it enough to just wash the knife normally, or do you need ne'itza? Again, what's ne'itza? You stick it in the hard ground 10 times. Okay, maybe nowadays you use something very hard to scrub it 10 times. Or do you just need more mold washing, just like anything else? Says the Shach, even though meat is soft, cheese is much harder than meat, right? You ever try to cut a block of cheese? It's much harder than cutting a chicken. Then, basically, what's the rule of a knife? The rule of a knife is that, let's get the rule of a knife down, how to clean a knife. He says, if it cut dover kasha, then you always need the pizza. But if it cut a dover rach, I don't mean super soft like yogurt. I mean rach like meat and chicken, not very hard like cheese. If it cut a hard thing, then you need hard scrubbing to clean it. If it cut a soft thing, then it depends if it's cold or warm. Then this Rambam applies. If it cut a warm thing, then it needs ne'itza. Because the warmth makes it stick on more. But if it cut a cold thing, then it just needs hadacha, just needs normal washing. Okay, maybe even wiping. Okay, nowadays, we generally are machmir, certainly lechachila, to wash things. That's what the Shachir says. The Yad Yehuda here just adds one other point. Says the Yad Yehuda, even if you cut a cold, soft item, if you didn't clean the knife soon afterwards, then you're going to need an itza because it gets dried and caked on. Okay, not sure exactly where he got it from, but it's a logical point, meaning not the Shas. So add, this is all the Shach here. Add the Yad Yehuda, he says, not so pashut. If you delayed cleaning the knife, then you need an itza. We see here why we normally assume you always need to do an itza to clean a knife. You always need to do an itza to clean a knife because of, and even though nowadays our knives we keep clean, et cetera, you know, lechatchila, we assume that if you want to use a treif knife, like a akrai or something, remember akrai, for cold food, obviously, then you should do an itza because, you know, if it ever cut very hard things, it would need an itza. Or if it cut soft, warm things, it would need an itza. Or if it cut soft, cold things and sat for a while, for a day, it would need an itza. So the odds are it probably needs the itza. And even though nowadays we seem to keep our knives clean, even the Goyim Jews, everyone keeps their knives clean, so why should you need an itza? But lechachila, we are still machmir, that if you want, I mean, usually why would you use a treif knife? Totally. But if you want to use a treif knife, be'arai, then you should do ne'itza on it. Lechachila. And I don't think we'd say b'di'evet. B'di'evet, we assume our knives are clean nowadays. But lechachila, once you need a knife, because you see there's many circumstances where a knife would need ne'itza.
How do you do ne'itza nowadays?
Okay, so either you go to your backyard, find some hard dirt, stick it 10 times, or you take a hard scrubby thing and you scrub it 10 times.
Okay.
You know, not a regular sponge. A regular sponge is
steel wool.
Steel wool.
Cut it. Steel.
Steel wool is pretty hard. Steel wool is pretty hard. The question is, like, where to draw the line? You know, what? Scrub daddy. Anyone want to tell me what a scrub daddy is?
A scrub daddy is not steel wool. It's like a harder sponge.
But it scrub softens. Daddy's Binyamin's rapper name.
A scrub daddy softens when you put hot water on it, but it stays hard when you put cold water on it. So I would say a scrub daddy's not the same as steel wool.
Lemaisa, I guess I would go with steel wool or something that's, I don't think it has to be as hard as steel wool. But harder than a sponge, so I'm not sure what in-between things there are. You know, if you brought everything in, I would use my judgment to tell you whether I thought it was good enough. Then it would still be a problem. This is all that we assume. Yes, it's a rebuttable presumption. Yes, because the knife has stuff on it now from cutting. Yeah. That's by the way why I put this out to show only on this one, not that one. What about using a knife in the hotel l'chatchila? In l'chatchila, we say you need me'itza. Or do we assume that, maybe we should be a little more up to date and say, no, with all of our modern dishwashing techniques, we no longer need me'itza for a knife. All right, let me think about it. It's a good question. Because our intuition is that our knives are pretty clean, right? Even though the poskim will say to do me'itza, our intuition is that our knives are pretty clean. All right, let me think about it. At least if I think about it and say it, then I won't be such a reform rabbi. I don't say it unthinkingly. Okay.
Why wouldn't a knife need hagala? Because maybe it was used for...
Because you're putting a cold thing ba'arai. Remember the shachins and tzadi aleph's cut and gimel? If you want to use a treif kli kol ba'arai, you don't need hagala because no bliya can transfer.
Oh, this is when you're cutting something cold?
But there's only cutting something cold ba'hagala, right? If you're cutting something hot, you need hagala because it probably cuts something hot once. And if it cuts something hot once, it has bliya inside and then you can't cut hot things. So correct, this is only for cutting cold things.
And this is cold, even if it's soft. You should do that in Issa, right?
Yeah, that's what it seems. Meaning if I now want to cut a soft thing, but who knows what this knife was used for until now. So I should need to do Issa to take care of all the different things that were done with this knife until now, which made it very schmutzy.
That's a question, though.
Yeah.
If someone calls me and says, I cut my meat with a knife, and you ask, is Yad Saladispo, then didn't the knife cool down the meat after you cut it? Like,
how much can the knife cool down the meat?
I don't know. It kind of opened it up. All that steam came out. A little bit of the funnest of kairos.
First of all, I don't think so. And second of all, it doesn't matter. Because at the time, it was even if the knife had cooled the meat off, since at the time it was hot, you'd still be stuck. Like, on the borderline, would still be us.
And I assume you have to tell, if you're telling your Baal Bus or whatever it is, your person, your kolel, shouldn't they have to touch the middle of the meat? Because usually the middle of the meat's hotter than the top of the meat because the knife probably hit the middle of the meat, no?
Yes. So you're right. If the middle of the meat is the obsoletus bow, then it would still be a problem even if the top of the meat is not. So you'd have to be careful with these things. I agree. Yeah. I agree. You'd have to be very miserable. When it comes to hot meat, you'd have to be very careful. Fair enough. It depends how thick the piece is, etc. Okay. I think that's about all we have to say for Siv Zion. Sif Ches is very confusing. It's not a principle. It's a specific case, right? It's a specific case that just was a Maisa that happened. And Yerucham says, so this Maisa happened, right? Enough of a Tanner Pnadish. A Tanner Pnadish. What's a Pnadish? A meat pie. Everything was a pie then. What's a Tanner Pnadish? The taner panadish lechora doesn't mean an oven, right? It means like the dish you cook panadish in the taner. Okay, so gvina afilu lacha. If even moist cheese fell into a taner panadish, think gvina cham makaris basar basioma or hot cheese into a basioma meat plate. Eino osur ela kedei klipa. It is only osur kedei klipa. Okay. Now the truth is the hot cheese into a benyomo meat plate is not a very big chiddush. That it is, doesn't sound like a very big chiddush. That is only usur kidei klipa. The chach deals with is this hot into cold, is this cold into hot, etc. If it is hot into cold, and obviously, that's how Gabri only asks kidei klipa. Doesn't seem to make sense because the Beis Yosef says, no, we learn. The second half, because Yosef learned on his own from the first half, which was a Rebbein Yerucham. So it seems like even if it's all hot, somehow it's only Bolea Kedei Klipa. Then it's a mystery. Why is it only Bolea Kedei Klipa? That's the mystery here. Why is it only Bolea Kedei Klipa? Okay, that's what the Shach deals with. This Kotlan Gimel. We will try to be very much Makatzer here. next to Seafim. Let's just get the... How do you do it again? Press the trees? Press the trees. It, like, uses a different lens. Because it's fishbowly. I mean, if you don't press the trees, it's Euclidean. You know what I mean? You're not a math person? Okay. If you don't press the trees, it's like normal proportions, rectangle. If you press the trees, it turns fishbowly curved. So it must have a different lens. That's a wide angle lens. That's curved. Euclidean. You know what I mean? Euclidean, not Euclidean. All right. Whatever. Okay.
What can I do? Because we already have two cameras.
What?
This we have two cameras. So.
It actually has four cameras. It's very fancy.
I didn't mean to undersell your phone. I apologize.
Right. No. I have a very fancy schmancy phone by accident. First, someone bought me as a present the phone that I didn't need. That was fancy schmancy. And then someone else bought an even fancier schmancier phone, but couldn't find a case they wanted, so asked if they could trade with me because my phone had the case they needed. So anyway, I have a phone with four cameras, which I never thought I would need, but it was Min HaShamayim because I have this little plastic thing here. So it's the only way to get a good picture of the board. So you see how everything's Min HaShamayim. Who would have thought this? Two coincidences would happen, Davka, when Corona made us put this thing here. If you didn't believe in God until now, then at this point, you have no choice. Okay.
I think our strategy should be on that, Rabbi.
Yes. Sefches. In Nafal Letaner. Okay. Knadish. So what's the case here? Let us take it backwards. How about the second case? The second case is that a Dover Balua, he says, if the Gvina won't go in more than a Kdeklipa, then the Bli and the Kli for sure won't go in more than Kidei Klipa. Okay, what is the principle here? And that's what the Shach discussed in this long Shach of Kutin. Lamed Gimel, he says, what's the principle of the Seifa? The principle of the Seifa is that, let's see what's going on here. Seifa. What's in the Seifa? You have the Blia Bikli going into the Gvina. Right? And let's say they're both hot. You might think if two things are hot, Sli should go through Kedei Metila at least, and if it's Shamayim, even more than that. No, only Kedei Klipa. Why? Because the Bli and the Kli does not really have much substance. It's just a Bli and a Kli. It's very weak. Since it's very weak, it only has power to penetrate Kedei Klipa. Ah, but the Shach brought many steerers to that. So he says you have to add one okenta. He says, "Demayrikan bedover nagov shekas rash b'shal desagi beklipa." Okay, that's what the Shach says. What is the principle? Right, it goes in only kedei klipa. What is the principle? The principle is that a blia into a dover nagov. What do I mean by nagov? Nagov means not solid. Nagov means more than solid. It means dry. Because there are moist solids and dry solids. Stam cheese in their days meant dry. Even in our days, real cheese is totally dry. Right? In the beginning, he said, afilu lacha, even moist cheese. But stam cheese is dry, especially meant in their days. Stam cheese, they had no refrigeration, anything. Stam cheese is like this old dried thing, right, that was preserved. So, Leah into a Dover, not Dover, Nagov, can only penetrate Kedei Klipa. Why? Because it starts out very weak. It's only a Blia and a Kli. And it goes into a inhospitable medium, a Dover Nagov. Then it only goes Kedei Klipa. Okay, the Shach and Simon Kofei passed this way as well. He's consistent. That's a general rule. The general rule is that a Blia only goes from a Kli into a Dover Nagov, a Kedei Klipa. Like, for example, if I would, I don't know, what's a Dover Nagov? What's something dry?
Beef jerky.
Pasta.
Hey, it doesn't have to be that dry. I don't know. Take a dry roll. A roll. You know, a roll of bread. That's dry. Doesn't have any moisture in it. Doesn't have to be hard as a rock. Just has to be dry. And I put it on. I don't mean I put it on a Treif barbecue. The Treif barbecue is full of meat schmutz. I put it on a Treif clean dish and heat it up. And the Treif dish is then yomo. So the taste of the Treif goes into the meat, the roll, since it's the taste coming out of a kli, and it's going into a dry thing, it would only ask so they could bottom for the kli by the roll. That would be halacha l'maisa, based on the safe. Yes. Not real good cheese. I don't know. I haven't tried. I mean, yes, the Kvinatsu Bav Rami Levi will become probably all melted when it gets hot, etc. Or it's only a real Kvinat Kashat, like the kind you have to wait 6 hours for. I don't know. Let's assume not. That's a good question. I'm going to assume not. How about the Reisha?
My brother used to be fond of putting Parmesan cheese on hot noodles, and it never melted.
See? Look at that. Whose brother?
Really? I've had the opposite experience. I've had the opposite experience.
Okay, so
you gotta get fancy Parmesan.
You had bad Parmesan cheese.
I think you gotta get fancy Parmesan.
Yeah, hold on. Who said it first? Was it Yoni?
Yeah.
Okay, so Yoni's brother has proper, expensive, fancy Parmesan cheese, and Liam has cheap Parmesan cheese. We know.
And I think it actually might be the hefesh. I think if you buy the powdered Parmesan cheese, then it's been processed so much that it won't melt. I think actual Parmesan cheese in a block does melt.
Okay. Interesting. Okay. How about the Reisha?
Okay.
The Reisha, you had Vina, Lacha, right? Lavdavka. Into Tanur Knadish. And it only goes into the Klipa. Why? Piece of cheese in heat, going into a tanner sounds like everything's very hot, or at least the bottom thing's hot, right? That's how gavar should go in more than kedei klipa, right? Cheese has a very, it's not like a blea of, it's mamish cheese and mamish moist cheese. Why does it only go in a kedei klipa? So here it's not 100% clear. The Taz says the tanner knadish perish ka'arish al basar. Da'yish osum ha'machol shal basar nekar knadish. Meaning a meat dish where you make a certain food called knadish. The not clear what the Taz meant, but the Prima Gadim and many other Prima Gadim right here on the Taz and many others understood the Taz to be trying to explain this, saying Tanner Knadish doesn't mean there was knadish there. It was just a Tanner Knadish. It was just a Tanner Knadish. And since it was just a Tanner Knadish, right, then we understand maybe into the kli it only goes kedei klipa. Okay, maybe. So we're not sure what it means. What is a tanner knadish? So maybe the Taz. We can't be sure. Maybe the Taz is. That's what it sounds like. Why did the Taz keep saying tanner knadish is a k'orishal basar? Maybe it just wants you to know what a tanner knadish means. But it seems like he's trying to say more than that. He says that it means the empty kli. Or, says the Shach, no. It means a meat pie. It means a panadish is in the tanner. So, which does it mean here? According to the Taz, it means the Gvina only assers the kli kdei klipa. Why? So the Chazon Ish explains, that could be. What's the principle? Says the Chazon Ish, that even though we find a lot of shitas not like this, maybe the Mechaber holds that an ochel into a kli can only aser solid, can only aser kedei klipa. Okay, we never found more than that. According to the Shach, we're not talking about, that's, it has been the Chazon Ish. According to the Shach, We're talking about meat falling, cheese falling on a meat pie. Why don't we also get a cleat pie? Hot cheese, hot or cold cheese on a hot meat pie. Tatagavar, whether the cheese was hot or cold, the meat pie's hot. Of course, it should be usser tidinatila. And if it's fatty, it should all be usser. So, says the Shach, nope, the Rani Rosham didn't get finished here. The finish is big finish. What's the principle? The principle is that cheese is special and only permeates kidei klipa. Okay, he investigated and decided that cheese only has power to spread kidei klipa because cheese is different than other foods. Okay, lemase, we're really not sure what the mechaber meant here. It's not a mechaber, it's a minirachim. Yes, Yom. Ah, because there's no rotif. Yeah, sorry. This is all when there's no rotif. All when there's no rotif. If it would be in soup, it would also the whole thing.
But really, the point is that she's a special
flesh. Yeah, that's what the Shach says. Says the Shach, Sif Katan Lamed Beis. The ain der gvina likanis kolkach. The imkain concludes the shach. The gvina is also contained in the tila because the knadish basar can be nechmas to the gvina through a whole netila, but the gvina can only be nechmas to the knadish basar can eat klipa. These are all interpretations because it can't just be because there's no rotif. Because when there's no rotif, that's called sli, and we know that asu is contained in the tila. That's the problem. Halacha lemaisa. Halacha lemaisa, we're not sure what the Mechaber meant here, says the Prima Gadim. If he meant what the Taz is saying, that's impossible. He has a million disproofs. If he meant what the Shach is saying, then that doesn't match what we paskin, what a million Rishonim and Poskin paskin. In other cases, it's not true. Halacha lemaisa, we do not rely on this Risha at all because we're not sure what he meant. And if we are sure what he meant, we're not sure if the other Poskin agree with this or not. So we do paskin like the Seifa. But we don't paskin like the Reisha because whatever he meant, it's very strange. It seems to be against too many other Rishonim. You see, there's a very long Prima Gadim here on the Taz who goes through all the reasons why the Taz's pshat can't be what the Mechaber meant. The Mechaber must have meant what the Shach says. But if the Mechaber meant what the Shach says, then it's not true. Because then we don't paskin like him. And then good he question. Says there, just give me half a second. Bishlam adin hasheni, meaning the seifa, who din emes. Yeah, that we can like beef up, we can support from other places, etc. etc. Aval din echad she'en koach begvina filachal dikonos machni veklipa zelo shaman evgan lo inamore rosha chilka bekach vechitem erachnami. Just because I never heard this in any other mokor in Shas, Rishonim, Achronim, just because I never saw rabbis passing this way in my lifetime, maybe it's still true. No, mine simtzani aleph lo mashmakei. No, if you look, I prove simtzani aleph not that way. Halacha lemaisa, we pass like the Prima Gadim, who says that din echad is din emes, but din bet, we're not calling it sheker. But that's not how we paskin. Okay, question. Who had a question on Zoom? Yes.
Is it possible panads is a type of food that has a crust on it?
It's that definitely them up? A food that has a crust. Yes, it's a meat pie.
Okay, because then wouldn't that be a different din? And that would be some, that could be room for a chiddush?
No, I don't think so, because let's think about it. A meat pie, everyone knows the meat gravy goes into the crust, so the crust is fleishik. So if the crust is fleishik, why shouldn't the cheese aser kedin etila of the crust? So you're still going to need a chiddush. Okay, sif test.
In the case of the seifa, where the gvina chama falls into the kara, we said that the gvina chama needs nitila, but what about the kli that it falls on? We didn't talk about that.
Hold on. In the case of the seifa, we said the gvina chama only needs klipa.
Yeah, but the kli that it falls on?
What about the kli that it falls on? Let's assume they were both hot. If they were both hot, the kli should be totally usur because we don't paskin like this. The Chazanish also doesn't paskin like the kli should be totally usur. Why? Because the bleed from the glina is very strong. It's coming from an actual cheese, so it should also the whole clea. But the bleed from the clea is very weak. It should only also contain the tila of the glina. So the whole clea would be usher, but the glina would only be usher kedei klipa in the seifa. According to this Taz, as the Chazanish explains in the Machaber, not the Chazanish Paskin this way, he's just explaining that they would both only be usher kedei klipa. But we don't Paskin that way.
Just to clarify, Sock, do we go with the Shach and the Seifa?
Dover Nagav? In the Seifa, yes, we go with the Shach and the Seifa, yes.
Okay, what is Dover Nagav? Like, that just means that it's empty of chumliness, or?
No, it means dry. It means it's not moist, nothing to do with chumliness. It has to do with moist or dry. It means that it's dry. It's, you know, if you touch it, it doesn't feel wet. There's solids that are moist. What is a solid that's moist? If you take a piece of meat out of the cholent, it's moist, even though it's solid. Every kugel is different. But if you take a piece of cheese off the block, it is dry. Okay, exactly where to draw the line, it's going to be tricky. But I would say that whatever seems dry is a dover nagav. I think that's fair. Lachura, I would, yeah, I mean, what? Yeah, but I'm saying every kugel is different. There's, you know, what kind of kugel do you have in mind? I guess all kugels have to be oily, otherwise they wouldn't be a kugel, right? What? Yeah, I guess you're right. Okay, fair enough. But still... Yeah, I hear the time. Okay. If there's no other questions, we'll go to Tess. Tess, Bishlo Dvash v'machva shal basar bas yoma. You cook meat in a ben yomo fleshik pan. Obviously, you don't do this in achila. You pour it boiling hot into a ben yomo milchik bowl. Mutter, yishom da'avinos in tam, barzinos in tam, de teira. Says the Mechaber it's mutter. Now, if you look inside, the Mordechai says mutter for one reason. And then the Mechaber says, and I have a better reason. Okay, the Taz wonders why he didn't say both reasons. That's not the Nikos Gass says. He didn't have to say both reasons here. Later on, I'll say both reasons. Basically, what do you have here? Here you have a Benyomo Fleshik pan. Out of it is pouring Dvash into a ben yomo milchik bowl. The Mechaber, if you look at Beis Yossi, says mutter for two reasons. Why is it mutter? Because the dvash is parv. Why is the dvash parv? The dvash is parv. Once the dvash is parv, who cares what lands in the milchik bowl, right? This dvash, according to the Beis Yosef Mechaber, is parv for two reasons, meaning two independent reasons. Number one, no seitan lefgam. Because the meat taste in the dvash is lefgam. Oh, it's ben yomo. Why is the meat taste in the dvash lefgam if it's ben yomo? The answer is because ina ben yomo is not the only case of tam lefgam. Any taste that's bad is also tam lefgam. And we have masor from Chazal that the taste of meat in honey is a bad taste. Honey is bad for meat. Sorry, meat is bad for honey. Okay, so it's a tam lefgam. Even ben yomo, meat is bad for honey. You can imagine what a tam lefgam. I you have a bottle of Johnny Walker Blue Label. How much is that worth? $100, whatever.
Liam, get involved.
What?
Liam is our resident expert.
Okay. However, let's say it's worth $100. Let's say you take some 1/50th of Orla orange juice and mix it into that Johnny Walker Blue Label. Will it now be trafe because that is 1/50th of Orla? No, because it's Tom of Gum, you ruined it. Right? Certain things ruin other things. You know, it's hard for us to know. Usually concoctions are good. Some things ruin other things. Possible example, you know, you, I don't know, you take some trafe pepper and you put it in something that makes it so spicy they can't be eaten. That's tam lefgam. Okay, so number one, no tam lefgam, meat in dvash having nothing to do with the age, even if you actually put a piece of meat in the dvash, that would be lufgam. Number two, not bar not. Deatera. Not bar not deatera. Because meat to pot, pot to dvash is deatera. Ask the shach, and we're not going to get into these, each of these will come up in later simanim. Ask the shach, how can their mutt didn't argue? Why? Because the Ramah elsewhere. Where is it elsewhere? Elsewhere is Simon Kuf Gimel and Simon Sadi Hey. One, Simon Kuf Gimel. Two, Simon Sadi Hey. What does he say? He disagrees with this. He says the taste of meat and honey is a good taste. Ah, the Gemara said it's a bad taste. No, that meant the taste of meat in honey drink, honey meant. But the taste of meat and honey is a good taste. Disagrees with the first heter. And he disagrees with this heter as well. Why does he disagree with this heter? Because this vash is at the same time touching the milchikli and the fleshikli. If it's at the same time touching the milchikli and the fleshikli, then it's as if everything is touching at the same time. The milk and meat tastes are touching at the same time. That's an aparnati surah. So he disagrees with both these heterim. If he disagrees with both these heterim, why didn't the Ramah comment on Sadi Dalit? Say if Cass and say I disagree. So because it's a mitzias, it's a machlokas and mitzias. He thinks meat improves honey. The Machaber thinks meat ruins honey. The Ramah thinks meat improves honey. It's a mitzias. And no, the Ramah holds that since this Dvash is touching this kli and this kli at the same time, it's as if the taste of meat is going straight into the milk, and when meat goes into milk, that's Isura, not Hetera. The Machaber views it as meat into honey. It's like this. The Machaber in Simon Sadihe views it as meat to kli to Dvash, not Barnat to Hetera, right? But the Ramah views it as meat to the Kli, to the Kli Chalavi. He says, what do you mean? The taste is going straight from the Kli Basari to the Kli Chalavi because it's being poured in an unbroken stream of boiling liquid. That's Machlokas. Basically, the Machaber says, no. Freeze frame right here. Everything above here is an Aparnat de Tera. The fact that it's then going to fall into the milk of the Kli doesn't bother us. Ramah says, no. Look at it all as one big picture. Right? Can you separate this into two pictures or not? Okay. Lemaisa asked the Shach, so why does the Ramah disagree here? And answered the Shach, because both of those Ramahs, he wasn't sure the Machaber was wrong in both these disagreements. He was just machmir for the machmir shita, but he admitted it was a machlokas. And therefore, says the Shach, adds the Shach, but the Ramah is Someich on one and two together. The Ramah in Simon Kuf Gimel is not Someich on Heter 1. The Ramah in Simon Sadihei is not Someich on Heter 2. But the Ramah never in Sadihei or Kuf Gimel discussed when you have Kulas 1 and 2 together. Maybe together he's Someich on them. Why? Because number one, he's Mesopic if it's a good Heter, so he's Machmir. Number two, he's Masupik if it's a good heter, so he's Machmir. But if you have two Stud and Lahakel together, then he's willing to be Makel. And that's the way much of your day works. And we pass like the Shach, but the Ramah would be Makel in this case. Not that you're likely to ever have this case, but the Ramah would be Makel in this case. Okay, yes. So basically, it's like this. The classic cases are this. Meat to kli to parf, such as dvash, that is called not bar not deter, right? Treif to kli to kosher, that's classic what we mean by not bar not de isura. That's like literally not bar not deter, literally not bar not de isura, right? The machlokas is the following. And there are details, but this is good enough. What about meat to kli to parev at this, well, but at the same time, milk to kli to parev simultaneously? Do we view that as two separate not bar not the heteras? I mean, let me write a little more precisely. What about this case? Meat to kli to parev to kli. What about this case? Basically, the milk kli and the flesh kli are touching the parev at the same time. Right? Like the case of stirring vegetable soup in a ben yomo flesh pot with a ben yomo milk spoon. Or maybe pouring dvash from ben yomo flesh pot to ben yomo milk bowl. Here it's a funny case. You could view it as two separate not bernat deteras. There's a not bernat detera from one side and not bernat detera from the other side. It's all water. Or you could say, no, it combines to be a not bernat tisur. It's a not bernat of basr or chalav. Do you say it's a not bernat of basr and a not bernat of chalav? So it's two not bernat deteras. Two not bernat deteras are still water, and so are three, and so are four, and so are five. I don't care if you have eight not bernat deteras. Still not bernat detera. Or do you view it as a not bernat of basr or chalav? Okay. I admit this is one way of looking at it, but this is the way we paskin like. Right, you understand how it depends how you look at it. The Mechaber will look at it as two not bernat deteras, so mutter. The Rama would look at it as one not bernat de isura. He says that meyakra din, although in the case of Eroi, he might only say that misafik, because you know, Eroi is actually a little like weaker than stirring with a spoon, because it's not actually touching them both at the same time. It's like sort of touching them both at the same time. Like the top of the dvash is touching the meat kli at the same time the bottom of the dvash is touching the milk kli. So, okay, we'll get to that. And with the mice, this is a machlokas. Here's where the machaber calls this hetera. It's a double hetera. So that's fine. And the Rama calls this isura. Okay, this is a big machlokas starting with Tosfos on Daf Kuf Yud Beis and Aleph and going through all the Rishonim. And this topic is discussed inside the Hesef Gimel. Now, then, for the purpose of our discussion now, I'm not going to be mechalik between whether you're stirring with a spoon or pouring, even though there are slight differences between them. Because you understand, if it's in a fleshic pot and stirring with a milk spoon, it's mamish touching the spoon in the pot, mamish at the same time. If I pour from a pot to a bowl, it's sort of touching at the same time, sort of not. Okay, but we'll make that look a little later in Simon Sadi Hay. Okay, hopefully I've clarified that. Okay, now we're ready for Simon Sadi Hay, which is probably the most halacha l'maisa. Sadi Hay and Sadi Vav are probably the most halacha l'maisa simon and filchus basar b'chalav. Simon Sadi Hay is, this is the simon of Napar Nata Etera. This is the simon, the mucker of Napar Nata Etera. It's a Gemara. Well, almost all Simanim and Shulchan Aruch are really Gemaras. Some Simanim are not based on the Gemara, but almost all of them are. Kuf Yud Aleph Beis, Itmar Dogim Sha'alu B'Ka'or Shel Basar. Right? Fish that were put, obviously talking about hot, the cold, who cares, in a fleshic tray. Not burnt. Right? Rav says they're fleshic, meaning Aslach L'Kutach, you can't eat them with sour cream. And Shmuel says they're milchet, they're parav. Moslach L'Kutach. You might think we should pass like Rav, because it's Isurim. Another no ambiguity here. At the end of the sugi, the very bottom, they bring riot back and forth, bring story. We can skip all that. Halach l'maisa, second to last line, Daf Kuf Yud Aleph, Omer Chizki Mishonavai Helchasa. There's a first psak halacha of the later on Uri. Helchasa, Dagim Shalom Bakara, Mutter l'ochlam b'kutach. Good enough for now. Dagim Shalom Bakara are mutter to eat with kutach, meaning they're parif. Not Barnat Deteira is Parif. Okay. The Gemara never said the word not Barnat Deteira, not Barnat Deisura. But we know there must be a difference between not Barnat Deteira and not Barnat Deisura because we know that things cooked in a treifkli are treif. And we know things cooked in a fleshikli are Parif, so that's what we paskin. So it must be the difference between not Barnat Deteira and not Barnat Deisura. What is the smart difference between not Barnat Deteira and not Barnat Deisura? The Svara is, says the Ran, because Isser is already treif. Even if it transfers and transfers and gets a little weaker, it stays treif. However, heter is heter now. The question is just whether it will become usser when you then mix, right? The taste of meat is heter. The taste of meat in the pot is heter. The taste of meat in the fish is heter. Question is, when you mix it with sour cream, will it become usser? Will it give birth to a new isser? The answer is, once it gets very weak, it can't create a new isser anymore. That's the principle. That's what is between not pronounced etir, not pronounced sura, not pronounced of heter. Basar b'chal is not the only example, right? There are other examples, such as nosar, and maybe chametz. According to the Shulchan Aruch, chametz is also a good example. Okay, we'll see. This will be a little controversial. The Kaddish and the I take that back. Forget it. That's Machlokes Rishonim, but not according to Shulchan Aruch. But nosar also, right? If I have a korban that became nosar, right? Yesterday's haftas, and I cook it in a pot, and then I cook food in a pot, it's going to be treif, no matter how many times it transfers. But if I have today's haftas and I cook it in a pot, and then I cook meat in that pot, that taste is so weak, it can't make an isser of nosar where there wasn't one yet. You can't create a new isser from a weak taste. That's why napar not the tera is mutter. That's the principle. There's an interesting machlokas. There's a Maharshal in Sefer Yamshel Shlomo who says that's only true if it's very weak. But if you taste it and you can taste the taste of, if the fish, you can taste the meat in the fish, then it's so strong there's no heter anymore. We don't pass like that. The Ram is quoted. So say, even if you taste the fish and you say, taste a little meaty to me, it doesn't matter. It's a weak taste of meat. Even if you can taste it, it's a weak taste of meat. If you can't taste it, what's the chiddush? Right? Remember, Sephardim rely on taste test. If you can't taste it, even any taste doesn't count if you can't taste it anymore. No, the chiddush is even though these fish taste like meat, nonetheless, since the secondary taste of meat, the secondary transfer, that's considered halachically weak. Since it's considered halachically weak, therefore, it is pariv because it cannot create an isser. That's how we paskin. And that is Sif Aleph here. Let's read in Sif Aleph. Sif Aleph quotes the case of Gemara before getting into all the politics of Rashi's son. Dogim shenisbashlu o nitzlu b'kedir shel basar. Actually, he is getting into politics, but let's pretend we don't know that yet. Fish that were cooked or roasted in a fleshit pot, rechutza yafeh, that was cleaned, that was washed well, she'in shum shuma davakba, that has no schmutz on it. Matalachim akutach, you could eat them with sour cream dip, because they're pirate, mishum davi, no same time, right? No same time, they're tera, because it's not right, not they're tera. Okay, what's the assumption here? Only in a clean pot is it not barnak, because then it's meat to pot, pot to fish. If it would be in a dirty pot with shuman, with schmaltz on it, then it would only be one step, schmaltz to fish. And one step is only nos in tam, and would be fleshik. The and lois are chutz yafes, so what if it was a dirty pot? If it was a dirty pot, if the schmutz on the pot was more than a 60th of the fish, then they're fleshik, you can't eat them with sour cream. But if it was less than a 60th, then it's okay, because you can divide and conquer. What do you mean divide and conquer? Let's say you cooked them in a dirty pot, but the schmutz on the pot was less than a 60th. Divide and conquer. Say they got two different types of meat taste. Taste from the schmutz and taste from the pot. The taste from the schmutz is batel b'shishin, even though it's a first transfer. The taste from the pot is not batel b'shishin, but it's a second transfer. And therefore, that's why I call divide and conquer, right? They're not fleshy because of the pot, because even though the pot is more than a 60th, it's not bar not. They're not fleshy because of the schmutz, because even though the schmutz is a not rishon, it's less than a 60th. And therefore, there's no pyrav. Which means that in all likely scenarios, let's say I cook pasta or fish or what have you in a fleshy pot, even if it was a little dirty, the dirt's less than a 60th, no problem. Okay, here the Mechaber says, if it was Rechutza Yafeh, if it was less than a 60th, what's the Stam case? What's our assumption if we don't know? Says the Shach, it's in Katan Aleph. You might have thought, we assume it's dirty until we know that it's washed. He says, not true, that's only for a knife. For a pot, we assume it's clean unless we know it was dirty. Certainly, Bismarck is that, right? When we had better hygiene, right? you assume a pot is clean until you know it's dirty, which means if you cook parv in a flaccid pot, it's parv. And what if you know it's dirty? Says Rabbi Akiva Eiger, the first Rabbi Akiva Eiger, quoting Minchas Yaakov, he says, even if it was dirty, you assume the dirt is less than a 60th. Unless you know otherwise. Because Minastam, even if pots are dirty, they only have a little schmutz. Now again, this doesn't mean to go against common sense. But it means if your mamish know it was super dirty, then you know. But if you don't know anything, you assume a pot is clean. And even if you know it's dirty, if you don't know anything, you assume the dirt is less than a 60th. Says the only exception is when you wash a lot of dishes in boiling water. They didn't have dishwashers or sinks. They didn't wash in running water. They washed in a basin of water. Then that's different. When you wash dirty dishes, then you assume the dirt is more than a 60th of the water. Why? Because you're washing dirty dishes, right? It's not something lying around. When you're washing something, you assume it has a lot of dirt. But when you're cooking, A, you assume it's clean until proven otherwise, and if it's dirty, you assume the dirt is less than a 60th until proven otherwise, which means your food is likely to be parv. No, that was only for waiting 6 hours. That was not for actual meat and milk. Yeah. No, chas v'shalom. Let's say you have fries that were fried in a fleishik kiosk, whatever, in the same oil as schnitzel. Those fries got a tam rishon of schnitzel. And therefore, those fries tam rishon of schnitzel, those fries are totally fleishik. If you mix those fries with cheese, it's chazer treif. Rav Schechter says you don't have to wait 6 hours after the fries. But he still admits that they're fleishik. That's just cool waiting 6 hours. Because really, tafshil shel basar being tam says you never have to wait 6 hours. Okay, and most people don't agree with Rav Schechter on that. But even on that, that's only because of waiting 6 hours. Because waiting 6 hours is because of that between our teeth, and it's not between our teeth, because of the shuman that lasts a long time, it's not going to last a long time. But everyone agrees that it's mamish fleishik me'ikaradin, the cold of our vinyan, otherwise. Okay, now what comes up here? What else comes up here? A not interesting discussion, but something we should discuss nonetheless, of the Taz in Sivkat and Gimel. Even though the Taz in Sivkat and Gimel is on Siv Beis, he's still referring back to our Sif. He says, hold on a second. Fish, you know what? All right, we should leave that. Okay, for Sif Beis, he was right. Okay, now let's get into the first Piskei Tshuva. As the first Piskei Tshuva, he brings out two interesting machlokos, both of which we would normally be machmer about. Piskei Tshuva have gotten aleph, as to what counts as nachbar not. What counts as two steps? So he brings two machlokos. His first machlokos, let me get the order right, is what about foods? Not bar not involving food. What's an example? What if you have meat prepared to a kli? Is that kli considered a not bar not, or is that kli considered a not? What's an afgunia? Let's say that was a parv kli. Meat to parv to kli, can I now use this kli for milchik? Is this kli like the fish that are still parv, because it's a secondary transfer, or does this kli become fleishik? Why is that a suffix? Because a transfer from a food to a kli to a food is a weak transfer. From a food to a food is a stronger transfer. And that's an example he had here. He said, what if you had... what if you had you fried schnitzel in oil, and then you fried schnitzel in oil, and then you the oil to, you know, get out a French fry or something. Schnitzel to oil. You didn't take out a schnitzel with a spoon. Schnitzel to oil to spoon. Okay. So is that spoon fleshig or not? Question is, does food to food count as a step? So here he quotes a Prima God and quoted the Shari Dura, who said that it doesn't count. And the Pnei Aryeh, who says that it does. Okay, so here, what's the status of this Kli? Says the Prima Godin, quoting the Shari Dura, who says that it's considered a not. It says the Pnei Aryeh, and it's considered a not bar not. What's the machlokis? Not whether Parav to Kli counts the step. Obviously, it does whether meat to par, whether food to food counts as a step or not. However, even the Pnei Aryeh admits that when I say food to food doesn't count as a step, I mean if like Tom goes from one food to another food, if you actually mix the foods together, mamish, and blend them, that's clearly doesn't count as a step. For example, if I take butter and I mix it with other ingredients to make a mush, that's not a step. That has butter in it. You know, the only question is if, you know, I put schnitzel in the oil, then is the oil considered a first step? And then the spoon is the second step? Or, no, the oil is considered the same as a schnitzel because food to food doesn't count as a step. Yoni. I think so. I'm not sure, but I think so. Okay, second machlokas. This is what's called b'shas bishel. Yeah, and we would be machber. We're machber in both these. Correct. We would be machber on this. Correct. That a food is only food to kli to food. That counts as a step. Food to food is not a step. We'd be machmer. I don't mean it was a vadai, but we'd be machmer. We'd tzav l'hakel, but we'd be machmer. Now, at the end, he quotes another big machlokas, what's called b'shas bishel. Shas bishel. What's the name of this machlokas? The name of this machlokas is b'ochel. The name of this machlokas is b'shas bishel. What does shas bishel mean? Shas bishel means simultaneous. All not bar nots until now have been different times, right? Meat to kli, and then kli to parv at different times. At 1 o'clock, you cook meat in the kli. And at 2 o'clock, you cook parv in the kli. That is obviously not bar not. That's classic not bar not. But what about this funny case? What if you would have meat to kli to pariv all simultaneously? If you ask, how can you have such a case? How can you have such a case if it's all simultaneously? If the meat and the parv are in the pot at the same time, then they go straight from the meat to the parv. What is the kli? No. The answer is the meat's on the outside of the kli, the parv's on the inside of the kli. Meaning, what if you're cooking vegetable soup and you accidentally spill chicken soup on the outside of the pot? Chicken soup to pot, pot to vegetable soup. Right? Obviously, you have to say outside and inside. Otherwise, it doesn't go through the kli. Or you can make up whatever you want. Here's a good example. Let's say, I don't know if anyone would really do this, but let's say on top of my urn, right, I put, now often people have things to warm up on top of the urn on Shabbos, they all got a kedera, but usually like in a pot, right? Let's say on top of my urn, I put just take a few hot dogs, put them on top of the cover of the urn to warm up. Shabbos morning. Okay, hot dog. Now, hot dog's not in contact with the water. The hot dog's in contact with the urn, with the lid, and the lid's in contact with the water. That's this case. That's called b'shas bishel. It all happens in one time. Right? Let me just say the shitas. I am the Chavos Das who says that counts as one step. If it all happens at once, it counts as one step. But I am the Beis Ephraim who disagrees. This not Lucas, Chavos Das, Beis Ephraim. What's the status of this part? Says the Chavos Das, it's a not. Whatever happens at one time is one step. Says the Beis Ephraim, it's a not bar not. No, it's still two steps. It's still two steps. This is the machlokas. Is this one step or is this two steps? Okay. L'maisa, we would be machra in all these machlokas because there's no clear way to be machria. So we would be machra in this case. Meaning, if I put a few hot dogs on the lid of my urn to warm up Shabbos morning, we would be machra to say the water in the urn is fleshik mash. Is it not? And therefore, if you took water in that urn and made coffee and put in milk, you have to throw it in the garbage. Because that water is fleshik. However,
this is only if the meat is more than shishim, right?
Only if the meat is more than shishim, correct. Correct. If the meat is less than shishim, then you're in the luck. Correct. Good point. However, if you would empty out the urn, take off the hot dogs, empty out the urn, refill it with water on a weekday, of course, and then boil it up 10 minutes later, then that water would for sure be not, but not. Because the hot dogs went into the urn 10 minutes ago. The taste of the urn when it's the water now, that would be classic not by not. Okay. You do have to pay attention when you warm things up on top of the urn. Why? Usually you warm, who really puts the hot dog on top of the urn to warm up? Usually you might put a kli on top of the urn to warm up. Then it's no problem. The bliya doesn't go from a kli to a kli. So nothing happens. But A, sometimes people might put a challah to warm up in the urn without a kli. Just a challah on top of the urn to warm up. That's obviously fine. Challahs are pyrith. But realize your kli is now chum. Your urn is now chametz stick. Me'ikra did. We always treat everything. Anything that's in your kitchen all year long, we treat as chametz stick. As a chomer. But now your urn is chametz stick. Me'ikra did. Okay. Nothing to do with that part. Not even. And probably can't be kashered. Depending on details. The other thing is, sometimes urns have little holes on top for steam to escape. Many urns have holes on top for steam to escape. If there's holes on top for the steam to escape, and then the steam touches things, right? You put something to warm on top of the urn, and the steam escaping from the urn touches that, then that could be more of a problem. Maybe not for basar b'challah, to say the steam at the hole, you know, if it's blocking those holes, then that's going to be a big problem. Because then it'll mamish make everything fleshig or milchik because it's zeya inside a small pot. Even if it's not blocking the holes and it has room to escape through the room, it could still be a problem because of chumr de chametz if you warm up chametz on there. So, okay, you have to be aware of that. But that's not my main point now. Let's get to Rashi. Maybe. Yes, Yoni.
If you have another bush, and you would move over, it would based on.
Say that again? A hot dover gush touched the cold kli. So with water inside. So if the hot dover gush was on the bottom, right? And, well, here it gets a little tricky. Lemaisa, if a hot dover gush touched the outside of a kli with water inside, then theoretically, if the hot dover gush is on the bottom, we might say tata gavar, and it all becomes hot. What if you could prove that the water didn't become hot? You know, it was just touching for 1 second, etc. But let's say no, you took a cup of water and you put it down on a hot piece of steak. You left it there for a while. It'll get hot. Then that water in that cup is the machlokes in the chavos das in the base of frame. And we'd be machmir to treat it as fleshik. Then we'd also be machmir because in the end, the marshal is machmir on side to side. Also, we saw briefly. But not touching, then it's no problem. The hot piece of meat on the cold counter will make the counter fleshik kedei klipa. But the kedei klipa, the counter, is not touching the cheese. Right? The cheese is an inch away. That's more than kedei klipa. So it would not be a problem at all. But if you took, let's say you add a hot tray, and you put a piece of cheese on one side, a piece of meat on the other side, then they would be treif. Let's say you had a hot tray. Here's a great example. You had a hot baking tray in the oven. You put deli roll down on one side, and bread down on the other side and warm them up. The Tom goes from the deli roll through the tray to the bread. That is machlokas havas das mesa frying, right? And it's all hot. That would be machlokas havas das mesa frying. What? Yeah. So the tray is hot.
One okay. More question.
Absolutely.
The didn't we say the prima gotta was machmir about putting two kale in there, you know, when it's hot next to each other? So shouldn't you not warm up hot food on the urn? But even though it's
no, but because the prima gotta is machmir, when one kli is milchik, one kli is fleishik, or one is kosher, one is treif. Over here, one is fleishik and one is parif. So then we wouldn't be machmir.
Doesn't he say it wasn't unclear? It seemed like he was saying he's not sure about all these sorrows, so maybe he actually thinks the Tom transfers, regardless of whether it's Parv or not.
Yeah, yes, but I hear the Taina. I hear the Taina, and if the Tom transfers, then according to Chavis Das, you would Taka have a problem. No, I don't think so, because even if the Tom would transfer, once it goes from a Kli to a Kli, that's another step. So it'd still be not Barnat.
Mm-hmm.
So we wouldn't worry. And even on Sif Beis, will we machir l'chachila not barnat? Okay, we don't have to be machir so much. So no, I don't think anyone would aser, you know, touching a hot fleishik kli to a hot part of kli l'chachila. Only fleishik to milchik and kosher to treif. Okay, what is the machlok between Rashi and the other Rishonim? The Gemara says, dogim she'olu b'ka'ara shel basar. What does olu mean? Olu means olu min ha'ish. You took them out off the fire and put them on a karshal basar. Mistama, the dogim were hot, but the karshal basar was cold. What if they were nisbashlu b'kederishal basar or nitzlu b'kederishal basar? Meaning, what if everything was hot? Then maybe it's more chamar. Now, from the Gemara, we'd not necessarily thought that, but the Rivan, Rashi's son-in-law, Rivan, had a masorah from his father-in-law, that the heter of not burnout is only by weak transfers. How weak? When everything wasn't hot. It's a big asterisk in not burnout. Against all the examples we've been saying the whole time. And Bali Tosa is saying, no, that's not mustaber at all. As a matter of fact, they view him from Rashi that his son-in-law is wrong. Okay, but his son-in-law was lying. I don't know, maybe his son-in-law misunderstood his father-in-law. Tosis and Medayik from Rashi that they don't think it's true. Well, they can't prove it, absolutely. But this is the big machlokas. Says the Rivan, the heter not burnout is only when hot meets cold. Now, I understand, hot meets cold still has a plea, a tata gover. If the bottom one is hot, the whole thing's bolea. If the top one is hot, if the eclipse is bolea. And that, but since it's a hot thing on a cold thing, is a heter not burnout. But if there would be strong transfers, then there would be no heter not burnout. Here we have three deals. Says the Rivan that alu is mutter, but nisbashlu v'nitzlu is aser. The het of not burnout is only when there's coldness involved, only when there's a transfer from hot to cold or cold to hot. Says it doesn't matter whether it's hot food on cold plate or cold food on hot plate. But the Tatari law, you're still a heter not burnout. That's a big chumra. Tosfos says the opposite. Nope. It's all mutter. Any transfer of heter is not burnout. It doesn't matter how hot it is or how cold it is. That's a sheet of Tosfos. And the Rush makes a compromise with Tosfos. That's the Havamina. He says, Olu v'nisbashlu is mutter. But Nitzlu is Usser. Why does he get that compromise? He says, look, Nisbashlu and Nitzlu are both very hot. But what's the difference between cooking fish in a fleishik pot and roasting fish on a fleishik tray? Which one gets a stronger taste of meat?
Roasting.
Why? Because when you cook, there's an extra step. It has to go through the water. So therefore, nisbashlu, even though it's very hot, since it goes through the water, that's still a weak transfer. However, nitzlu, when it's hot and direct, that's such a strong transfer that even though it's two steps, it counts as one step, and there's no heter not burnout. So here we have a big machlokas. Does the heter not burnout apply to many, many cases? Or not? It only applies to very limited cases. Yep. So the simple shot is the simple. Now that is the, that step from water to fish is food to food, and it's also simultaneous. So that's really where they get started arguing about. They say, why does everyone not agree to the rush? Maybe because food to food doesn't count as a step, or maybe because simultaneous doesn't count as a step. Theoretically, you could also be mechalik between second and third step versus first and second step. But that's, if you go back to all these makoros, that's where they all start from. Meaning, why do we, you know, not assume that it's three steps and very weak in this bashlu? You know, why is run machra in this bashlu? Maybe because, food to food isn't a step, or because simultaneous is not a step. Okay, halacha l'maisa, how do we paskin on this? We will have to get to next time. So, next time I want to continue in Siman Tzadi Hei. I also want to give you an assignment. We have packets there. These packets are, this is our last packet for the, no, almost last packet for the year. These packets are about sinks and dishwashers, right? Can use the same sink or dishwasher for meat and milk. Please take a packet. And after you finish them inside, hey, hopefully find time to look at this packet. In any case, we'll chazer the packet in Shir, the famous machlokes about using the sink for meat and milk and about using the same dishwasher for meat and milk, which all flow from Simit Sadi Hei Sif Gimel and Dalet. Right? If you learn Sadi Hei Sif Gimel and Dalet, you say, okay, this seems relevant to using a sink for meat and milk and using a dishwasher for meat and milk. So we'll discuss that after we go through Simit Hatzadi Hei Sif Gimel and Dalet, which is almost the end of the Simit. There's Heifam and Zion. They're tiny and they're not really so relevant. I mean, no, they're not relevant to the rest of the Simit. They're just sort of agav. Okay, so that is our plan. Sadi Hei, this packet, Sadi Vav, Sadi Zayin, and then Chazara. To be continued, Mir Tzashem. If anyone has
could Rebbe send an email of the packet or maybe give out extra copies for those that are on Zoom?
So I'm going to leave copies in my box. But does anyone want it on email? You know what? It can't hurt. What? You know the boxes in the Beit Midrash? Isaac, you'll show them the boxes. Okay, I'll leave copies in my box. I'll also just send it out to RIK because I'm not going to know which individuals want it. So I'll also send it out. I'll go down and I'll scan it and send it out. Okay. Have a great day, everybody.
Thank you.